second coming of Christ or events related to it. It is a major theme in the prophecies of both the Old and New Testaments. Now, there are scoffers that ridicule the idea of Christ coming back to this earth. Turn with me to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 3. It says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. So it's predicted to happen, and it is happening. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. I remember one of our relatives of ours that left us, that by the word of the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. In other words, look at past history, what has happened. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some consider slackness, but is longsuffering, or in other words, patient, toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. So the day of the Lord, or Christ's return, is a certain thing. The Bible tells us so. Regardless of what these scoffers say, they can say what they wish, but it's still going to happen. It's not dependent on what you think or what I think or what the world thinks. It's going to happen. Now, Jesus Christ instructed his followers to pray. Remember that outline people call the Lord's Prayer? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Christ wants us to realize that his kingdom is coming. Now in Jude 14 and 15, it talks about Jesus Christ returning with 10,000 of his saints. It's his return. So Christ truly does return with great power as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we can look at that in Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 9, it says, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Everything we read in Scripture are the true sayings of God. This book is God-breathed. It's what he said. In verse 11, it says, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. For he sat on him, was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Now this is referring to Jesus Christ. In verse 12, it says, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had the name written, and no one knows except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. Whose robe was dipped in blood? We know who that is. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen and white and clean, followed him on white horses. In verse 16 it says, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we know that Jesus Christ is returning with great power, with great majesty. And he's going to be called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Revelation 1 verse 7, it says, he is coming with clouds, and every eye shall see him. I kid my wife about this a little bit. It doesn't say except the blind, does it? It says every eye shall see him. So if she's alive then, and I'm alive then, she's going to receive her sight, or else how would she see him? So to us, that's a very encouraging. And anybody that has any eye problems like that, they're going to be able to see Christ coming in the clouds. Now, we know that Christ will return. We read about it. But we don't know when, do we? It didn't give a date in 2023. Didn't give any dates whatsoever. It's because we don't know. Only the Father knows. Even Jesus Christ doesn't know. The question is, why will Christ return? Or why does Christ have to return? Now, it's something we should be thinking of this time of year, especially with Feast of Trumpets coming up, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, Last Great Day. We need to be thinking about these kinds of things. That's why I'm bringing this to you. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you five reasons why Christ has to return. Now, you could probably come up with 10, 20, or 30 reasons. I'm just going to hit five reasons why Christ has to return. None of this really should be new to you, but maybe you haven't thought of it in this way. The first reason is to fulfill some of the promises made in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Like I said, the Bible is full of things referring to Christ's return. Now, many promises were already fulfilled with Christ's first coming, but many remain to be fulfilled with his second coming. Turn with me to Isaiah 9. I'll guarantee that Isaiah 9 will be turned to during the Feast of Tabernacles. Isaiah 9. Beginning at verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Again, this is referring to Jesus Christ. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, I don't see that this has happened yet. Christ is not here yet. The government has not been put on his shoulders yet. It's something that will come to pass. And when Jesus Christ does return, there will be world peace. But we don't have that now, do we? Jesus Christ didn't bring world peace in his first coming. Nothing but war. But in his second coming, he's going to bring world peace. So that's something future. Nor did he bring any justice. There's no justice yet, but it will happen. But we also know that Scripture does tell us that all prophecies will be fulfilled. Turn with me to Ezekiel 12. Ezekiel 12. Notice in verse 23. It says, tell them, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will lay this proverb to rest, but they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say to them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. For no one shall there be any false vision of flattering or divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed, for in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. So he's going to perform what he said. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, look, the house of Israel is saying, the vision that he sees is for many days from now, and he prophesies of times far off. In verse 28, therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed anymore, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God. He's going to perform what he says. It's certain. We can rely on that. But like I said, a lot of these things have not happened yet, but they will. And it's something that we are all really looking forward to. Notice what Micah says. Every time I turn to Micah, I miss it. Micah, chapter 4, just verse 3. It says, he shall judge between many peoples, referring to Jesus Christ, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. Has that happened yet? Their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Has that happened, brethren? No, there's tons of wars throughout the world. But this is going to happen. Consider the wars being fought right now. They're all over the world. Someday this scripture will be fulfilled, because the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is coming back. He's going to be the world ruler. Wars will be the thing of the past. There will be true peace on this earth. Notice Zechariah 14, just a few pages over. Zechariah 14. Three and four, and then verse 9. It says, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall be toward the north, and half towards the south. Now, has anybody seen it? Have you seen it on TV? Have you seen where Christ returned to the Mount of Olives? No, but he's going to. It's a certain thing. This is a prophecy in the Old Testament, and it is going to happen. There's no doubt about it. But it hasn't happened yet. Then Revelation 11, just one verse in there, Revelation 11, verse 15, says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Do the kingdoms of this world belong to Christ today? Of course not. They're basically run by Satan the devil, really. But that's going to change. So it hasn't happened yet. So these are different promises that are made to us in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And we have to realize, yeah, it hasn't happened yet, but it will. That's why Christ has to return, so those things can happen. The second reason why Jesus Christ has to return, because of what he said, what Jesus Christ said himself, his own statements. Now we know that Jesus Christ cannot lie and will not lie. And if he did lie, he would not be our Savior, would he? So everything he says is true. You can look in the Bible, and if you have a red letter Bible, those are Christ's words. Go to Matthew 24. We'll read some of Christ's own words. Matthew 24:27 says, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes into the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Have you seen that yet? I sure haven't. But he's going to return, just like lightning flies from east to west. But that has not happened, but this is Jesus Christ's words. That's what Christ said. Then further in Matthew 24, in verse 20 or 36, it says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. How many times have we heard evangelists that are supposed to be in the true church of God saying a certain date, a certain year, Jesus Christ is returning? How do they know that? Because they don't. It was just basically a lie or a false prophecy. But even Jesus Christ doesn't know. Now, maybe there will be a certain time where the Father will tell Christ. I don't know. But right now it says, my Father only knows. And these are Jesus Christ's words. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And we know what the days of Noah were like. There was a lot of violence in the world, a lot of scoffers, a lot of people making fun of Noah for building an ark, this great big boat that you hope to carry people and animals in. No doubt they were laughing right until he loaded up the ark and the rain started coming. But that's the way the coming of the Son of Man will be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Verse 39, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Again, Jesus Christ is the one that is speaking these words. Verse 42, watch therefore. It's telling us, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Verse 44, therefore, you also be ready. We're told to watch and we're told to be ready. We'll talk a little bit more of that later. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Again, these are Jesus Christ's own words. They're not mine. No other man wrote these. These are Christ's words himself. He's telling us that. Do we believe it? And brethren, we are approaching that time, but Christ hasn't returned yet. But again, we were told to watch and be ready. Turn to Matthew 19, just a few chapters back. Matthew 19, beginning in verse 27. Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" Peter's asking Christ. So Christ said to them, again, this is Christ's answer. "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Has that happened yet? Of course not, because Christ hasn't returned. Here it clearly says the 12 apostles will sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, just as Jesus stated. And these are Jesus' own words. Notice what Jesus said in John 14. Just a few pages over, John 14. Beginning of verse 2 and 3. "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." Jesus Christ speaking. He's going to receive us to himself. "But that where I am, there you may also be." Brethren, that's a promise of Jesus Christ. That's his own words. He is coming back. He said he will. And we will be with him. And he has a great plan for us for all eternity. A great plan. The Bible says that we are to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We will spend eternity with him. Again, these are some of the statements of Jesus Christ. There's a lot more. I just wanted to touch on a few. Now, the third reason Jesus Christ has to come back, or must come back, it's to eliminate Satan and his influences. Boy, oh boy, wouldn't that be wonderful? To eliminate Satan and his influences. The devil is the most powerful being in all the world except for God himself. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is referred to as the God of this world or the God of this age. He's the ruler of this world. He's very happy right now. He has the world under his control. That means that he is the director of false religions, philosophies of this world. Humanity is helpless before him. Mankind cannot chain him and dethrone him. We don't have that capability. Or put him away. Can't do that. Revelation 12, 9 and 10 refers to Satan as a great deceiver and liar. He's the father of lies. He's a murderer. He's the accuser of the brethren. So a spirit being like that has to be put away somehow. But only God the Father and Jesus Christ have the capability and power to get rid of them. So that's why we need Jesus Christ to return. Jesus Christ will return to throw Satan into the bottomless pit and ultimately into the lake of fire. Again, we'll be hearing a lot more about this in future messages. But turn to with me to Revelation 20. Revelation 20, beginning in verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great dragon in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Verse 3, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, we must be released a little season. We'll be hearing more about that later. In verse 9, it says, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. In verse 10, it says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophets are. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Again, at this time, then the earth, the people of the world, will be freed of Satan, the devil, and his influences. Boy, wouldn't that be a great time to get rid of him? It's just kind of hard to imagine what it will be like without Satan the devil. But it will happen. We just read that it will happen. But Jesus Christ has to return to make that happen. The fourth reason why Christ has to return is because of the present chaos in this world and the threat of mankind to eliminate himself. There's so much chaos throughout the world, and mankind can very easily eliminate himself. The world is racked with pain, with suffering, hunger, war, murder, lust, greed, hate, fraud, corruption, violence, so much evil. And it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. Human governments are unsuccessful in dealing with these kinds of problems. Like I say, they just get worse. That's what happens. Go to 2 Timothy 3. Verses 1 to 5. But know this, that in the last days, and we are in the last days, perilous times will come. And boy, do we ever have perilous times today, and it's getting worse. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. You know, that's what we're facing today. Even, I have to say, in the religious world. I read things on some of the TV evangelists and won't mention any names, but it's pretty bad. They lie, 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 cheat, 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 and it's all for self-gratification. But, you know, this kind of describes all that. Like I said, mankind now has the ability to eliminate himself. With the creation of the atom bomb and then the hydrogen bomb and even bigger bombs today, it wouldn't take much. Science has developed several means of destroying all human life. And these include, like I say, the atomic and hydrogen weapons, but chemical and biological weapons, and no doubt other weapons that we don't even know about. They're coming out with new weapons all the time. The shocking thing is that some vital technological secrets have been stolen from the USA by China, or in some cases even given to China. And who knows what they'll do with them. Several small countries can purchase nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons from Russian leaders undercover, and probably from other places that have these kinds of weapons. Who knows what can happen if a radical terrorist group gets hold of some of this stuff? They don't care about human life. So what if we lose millions and millions of people? They don't care. But things will continue to get worse, brethren. No wonder Christ has to return. Go to Matthew 24 again. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 21, it says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." We can't even imagine that. We think we have big trials and stuff now, but nothing compared to what will be. It says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh shall be saved. For the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So, brethren, we are in dangerous times. If we don't be careful before we know it, yeah, we could be erased from the face of this earth. But Christ isn't going to allow that to happen. But this really is speaking of our time. Today, mankind can eliminate himself. It's scary, dangerous, and it's very troubling. We all want our young children to grow up, to have children themselves, and so on. But the way the world is going, it's kind of scary. But that is why Christ must return. For whose sake? Your sake, my sake. It says for the elect's sake. There's also droughts. There's famine. There's disease epidemics. There's the swine flu we've heard of. E. coli. The Ebola virus. And so on and so on. They're always coming up with some new ones. There's wars, there's earthquakes, there's hurricanes, and we know of a bad one coming right now. Tsunamis. Great terror. There's false prophets. There's great deceit. There's lawlessness. Really, when you look at this, it doesn't paint a very good picture whatsoever. Matthew 24, verse 5. It says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are just the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Now, this has happened to a few Christian people, but not very much yet, but look out. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. When you read stuff like this, it's like I say, it's not a very pretty picture, is it? It's almost scary. It kind of hurts in a sense. But notice what Christ says, or what God says in Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, verse 4. It says, say to those who are fearful hearted. Maybe some of you are a little fearful now by just things we read. But say to those who are fearful hearted, he says, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Now that's kind of reassuring, isn't it? He's going to come, he's going to save us. He will save us, he will set up his kingdom of righteousness and glory and peace and justice. And what a world that will be. That's why, brethren, we really don't have to fear. God is on our side. True character, along with peace and justice, will be restored from one end of the earth to the other. This is something that has gradually disappeared from most of our cultures. Especially the character part and peace. And brethren, we're going to hear a lot more about this in the Feast of Tabernacles coming up in about 6 weeks. The fifth reason Jesus Christ must come back, because of the dead in Christ. Some of your relatives, some of my relatives, some of our friends that have died. My wife and I often go through the number of people that died in the faith in the Seattle area. I think we're up between 100 and 200 people. Look at the number of people that died in the faith here. I don't know how many altogether, but a lot. You can be thinking of a lot of different people. But because of that, Jesus Christ must return. Many people from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and up until now have died in the faith, believing in God and trusting Him and waiting for their reward. They're waiting peacefully in the grave in a sound sleep. Yes, they will be resurrected. They will be given a spirit body and returning with Jesus Christ as his feet set on the Mount of Olives. Talked about that already. The great work of God, which makes us all in his image, that's really the work of God, him making us in his image like him, will finally be complete when the dead in Christ are risen to life. We all then can be joint heirs with Christ. Read about that in Revelation or Romans 8:17. And we can help set up his everlasting kingdom on this earth and help restore all things, something we are really looking forward to. Go with me to Romans 8. Beginning in verse 22, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." And we just described some of that groaning. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that's you and I, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And that's exactly what's happening. We're waiting. We have great hope. We're looking forward to that change that will come, not only to our friends and relatives, but ourselves eventually. Again, we will hear a lot more about this during the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's important for us, as God's saints, to keep the big picture in mind, brethren. Think about these things that I just addressed. Now, since we know that Christ needs to return and will, what are we to do in the meantime, you and I? Just sit back and relax and wait? Well, I'm going to give you five real quick points. Scott even touched on one of these last week. We are to purify ourselves. 1 John 3:3, don't have to turn to it, says, "But and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure," referring to Jesus Christ. We have to practice living a pure life, a godly life, a surrendered life, a consecrated life, a life that is pleasing to God. That's what we must do. Another thing we are to do, we are to wait with patience. Patiently wait for God to implement his plan and return. We don't know exactly when Christ will return, but God knows the time. Again, like I said earlier, only God the Father knows, really. But Jesus will return right on time, not an hour early or an hour late. Just that we don't know that timing, do we? But be patient, wait. We are also to watch. Watch means several things. One is having a strong desire for his coming, and watch our own spiritual condition. And watch world events as they unravel. So we have a job to do, don't we? Watching. Titus 2:13 says, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's what we're looking for. We're watching for that. Another thing, we are to continue doing God's work. John 9:4 says, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. And the night is coming when no man can work." So we are to continue to preach the gospel, to do God's work the best we possibly can. Try different methods, try different things. The main thing is to do it. Matthew 24:14, we go to Matthew 24 a lot, but Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, says, and then the end will come. So we are to continue, not lay down and sleep and hope that things will happen, but no, continue to do the work of God and preach the gospel. The fifth thing we are to do is to be prepared. Are you prepared? The Bible says the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. We read that already. Noah was moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark for the moving of his household. Again, I'd like to ask you, though, are you prepared? Now, you don't have to build an ark, but are you prepared? Am I prepared? Maybe we all need to ask ourselves, how is my or your relationship with the Father and Jesus Christ? How is it? That's something we really should ask every day. How is our relationship? If there's something to be desired, well, let's work on it. Let's change. Let's repent. Brethren, we know that Christ will return. Like I say, let's be prepared to greet him as a glorified children of God. Wouldn't you like to put your hand out and say, hey, welcome to this earth, Jesus Christ. Probably get a big hug from him and we give him a big hug. But notice in 2 Timothy, what is promised? I'm going to end with two scriptures here. These are really neat. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. It says here, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Aren't you looking for your crown of righteousness? That's what he's going to give to us when he returns. I don't know if it's a crown with a lot of diamonds or pearls or whatever in it, but I don't really care. It'll be a crown, you know. But that's what he's going to give to us. And the final one is 1 John. 3:2. Says, beloved. Beloved, now we are children of God. And at that time, we are literally children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will be like Jesus Christ. That means glorified children of God. And we will be able to see him as he is. Spirit beings seeing spirit beings. What a time that will be. Isn't it worth really look forward to the return of Jesus Christ and realize it has to happen and it will happen and we can count on it and let's wait patiently.